Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a key tax cut. Also, API distanced itself from 1819 News. And the Cannabis Commission, they can't get no love.
Eugene, I'm in the persuasion business, and frankly, I'm disappointed by your presentation.
Because they're a hunk of burning dumpster fire. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, hello.
You know, Josh, just when you thought that the Cannabis Commission couldn't be smoking any more of their own product.
I don't know that I ever thought that.
You didn't think that?
No, I did not. I've always thought
that. Something else, man.
I always knew it was headed downhill towards a dumpster fire.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. That's what danger.
Yeah.
William Webster, he was given a lecture over at the college, Cumberland College, and came out and he said, well, truth is, nobody knew anything about writing up these rules or regulations. And then he goes on in another event and says, for me, you know, I'd never seen it, never smelled it, didn't know anything about it. None of our staff knew anything about what we were doing is basically what he said. I mean, does that surprise you that they had no idea what they were doing when they wrote these rules and regulations? Very complicated rules and regulations.
I'll tell you what would have surprised me. Is that if they said they did know what they were doing when they wrote, given what's happened so far. And I hate it when we do these things as a state and we pretend as though this is the first time it's ever been tried everywhere. We're one of the last states to do this,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there are all sorts of examples that people could have built off of. And I understand that they went to some states. I don't know what they learned there, or what they took from that in trying to do these things, but it has been an utter catastrophe from the very beginning, the way, not just the rules, but the way they tried to implement the rules or then didn't try to implement the rules. It's all been a mess from the very start.
But here's what's alarming in all of that. He admitted they didn't know anything, he and the staff. But yet they say that he and the staff came up with the application and with the scoring points. So with no knowledge of that, where exactly did that information come from?
Well, and that's something we ask over at APR. You know, the rules, the regulations is a 48-page booklet that they have to follow.
And the application is ridiculously specific.
Yeah. So it turns out that they had made a trip, fact-finding trip, down to Florida. Now, why you'd go to Florida to find out about marijuana, I don't know, because Florida spent $60 million in litigation, the state did, and spent, 10 years trying to straighten out their mess. But they went down there, and among other people, they met with a guy named Chris Ferguson, Josh. And we've all heard of Chris Ferguson before.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, he was one of the heads of Florida's marijuana group, medical marijuana group. And then months after meeting with Webster and his bunch, he took a job at Verano as their public affairs guy. So he's a lobbyist for one of the biggest cannabis outfits in the United States and one that scored number one here.
It's a real surprise.
You know, yeah, it's shocking.
It's weird how you do well when you write the test.
Yeah.
You know, it's honestly, I got to say, to find out that they went to Florida and judged that, you know, and took lessons from Florida is not surprising either. because we basically are mimicking Florida step for step with all the bad things that are happening.
It's just crazy to me because we have been told by someone very close to the commission that Chris Ferguson helped them write the rules and regulations. And that's, you know, it's like Josh just said, it's not just that you know the answers to the test.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote the test.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And you know, and that's, I guess you should say, it's not necessarily a knock, or it's not a knock on Verano.
No, Verano, you know, they're
doing what they're supposed to do, right? Yes. I mean, here we know what the test is. We're gonna meet the standards of the test that you put out
but
there.
But for the love of God, would somebody please tell the truth in this process?
Yeah. Well, I think the problem with the truth is we can't handle the truth.
Apparently not. And of course, we found out that they knew nothing about what the scoring, but yet the scoring mechanism showed up before it went to University of South Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to hire people with expertise in scoring out of South Alabama. Right. At least that's what the memo
said. Right,
yeah,
right.
But they'd already said what you had to, what the, how it was to be handled.
So where does that come from as well, you know?
The whole thing has been so convoluted from the very beginning of this. And you're right. You can never really get a straight answer about what came first or what came second and how they did this. And I mean, just the scoring itself, when you look at what people were scored on. So you would have two different scores for each little category that they would go through. And sometimes those scores would be wildly different.
Yeah, right.
And it's just, there's no explanation for it. And then they want to still use those scores.
Right.
And it's just insanity.
And that's the thing that we don't understand. And so one of the other attorneys got up in court and said, well, the scores don't matter. It doesn't matter if the scores are right or if the scores are wrong. It doesn't matter. Because he said that the commission could ignore the scores if they chose to.
Well, then why are you still using the scores?
That's a good question.
Yeah, go to the facilities. See what they're capable of.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They've not visited a single facility. How can you do that?
They wanted to award award licenses before they visited anything.
Yeah.
We hear that one of them is a building in an empty field.
There's another one that's a defunct car wash.
Yeah. I mean, it's just and it's because it's obvious, or at least the implication there is that what these companies are trying to do is get the license and then sell it to one of these other companies.
Yeah.
And maybe that's fine.
Which you're not supposed to be able to do.
Well, you know, whatever. Capitalism, who cares? You know, but I mean, if you're going to do that, say that's what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you're wanting to put an emphasis on people who are actually ready, as the law says, to produce something in 60 days, visit the facilities and determine that they can.
You can't build a building and grow seedlings to maturity in 60 days.
No.
it doesn't work that way.
It's a mess, and I don't know how they figure out. We got about 1 minute left. I do want to bring up the fact that the state legislature passed a bill that there would no longer be a income tax on overtime. Is that correct, Josh?
Yes. It was Anthony Daniels' bill that was passed last session and was signed recently at a signing ceremony at Hyundai by the governor. January 1st, no more overtime
tax. That's about a 5% increase that'll go to you know, things that people need and leisure items.
And this was a Democratic idea for Anthony Daniels, who's running for the 2nd District of Congress. It was his idea. Mm-hmm. The Republicans saw the wisdom in it.
Yeah, they did.
Well, some of them did not. Arthur Orr. But they saw the wisdom in it. Governor Ivey saw the wisdom in it. It passed. We're putting real money into the pockets of real Alabamians.
Who will put it back into the economy of Alabama.
Democrats. Yeah. We've got good ideas.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with React. Sign up today.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. This story, where 1819 News revealed that F.L. Bubba Copeland, pastor and mayor in Smith Station, committed suicide after they released several stories revealing that he wore women's clothes in the privacy of his home, did put his persona as a transgender woman online, is alleged to have used the likeness, image, and name of a few people in his community without their permission. Don't know if any of that is illegal. The sheriff down in Lee County has not said he did anything illegal, but he died as a result of all the pressure, we believe, from that piling on. It's just piled on, piled on, piled on. It has made every national news outlet in the country. It has even gone as far as the British publications and the Times of India, Josh. And basically, most Republicans are staying away from it. I see that a few of them have gotten back on 1819 this week. But one group in particular that made it very clear that they had nothing to do with 1819 was their founding group. The Alabama Policy Institute released a press statement that said they no longer had any affiliation politically, economically, or editorially with 1819 News, that they had cut ties with them after giving them over $1 million to get started. But they want you to know, Josh, they didn't have anything to do with it.
We know y'all there, mama. I mean, come on. You know, this is like your mama trying to disown you or something. You know, it's what this is. Come on now. This was the group they started because, and they made, oh, they were so proud of it. We needed this news source to counter AL.com and the other, you know, traditional media in the state that just weren't giving our folks a fair shake and, you know, giving our values a fair shake and giving conservatism a fair shake. And they talked about this openly all the time, and they were so proud of it right up until, you know, this controversy.
Well, let's not forget Phil Williams, former Senator Phil Williams, was one of the leadership in API at the time that this started. He was very heavily involved with the beginning of 1819 News. He's still a distinguished fellow with API and still a writer, a contributor to 1819.
Not exactly.
They have no ties.
Not exactly a clean break there, Josh.
No, it's not. You know, if you like 1819 and you like that coverage or whatever, then you're going to go to it and you're going to do it. And there's nothing that anybody's going to be that is going to do to stop you.
I have no problem with that.
No, but this is lunacy. And you know, everybody can see through this. It's as transparent as it can possibly be that they're trying to save donors. It's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to get out from underneath this firestorm and say, oh, please don't link us to this. We didn't do this. You did this. This is what you wanted out of this group of people that you have hired and set up.
Well, you know, Policy Institute, from what we understand, originally had like six big donors that came in and pledged like $1 million. We think we know some of the names, but we just can't get it nailed down. Then they spent that million. API gave them $1 million just to spend. Can you imagine somebody giving you $1 million to open up a website?
Whoa.
I mean, that's just crazy. Susan and I did this with freeware and no money.
At our kitchen table.
But that's what they got. And they produced what you have.
Right.
Which is a right-wing, moralistic, Christian nationalist type of news reporting. And that's why they
And they don't, listen, this is not derogatory. This is what they say about themselves.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, they still are hammering this guy, this dead man, on their podcast. I mean, one of them said that... basically insinuated that he was Like, there were so many victims of this guy.
They did that on the day they buried.
I know, but they continued to do it.
And they've continued ever since. But I'm just saying, that particular one was on the day that his wife and children buried him.
I tell you what, if the Copeland family files a lawsuit and they start to get depositions, then they hide their dark money. They hide who's behind them. If you're so proud of 1819 News, show us your donors. Show us the money.
Who are you?
You see our money. You see AL.com's money.
Yeah, you can see the advertisements right on our page. You know exactly who gives us money. Why don't you show us yours?
Yeah.
Listen, I think that, back to the Policy Institute, the biggest problem that I have with a lot of this, I mean, the Bubba Copeland stuff aside, is the idea that we have now set up two nonprofit organizations that are supposed to be nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. You're not getting into the weeds of politics. You're not picking a side.
Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to be.
Right.
And they're clearly not.
No.
And so where is this line? And how is that enforced? And why are we allowing this tax exemption to take place if that's not what's? And listen, I'm not picking on just a conservative site here. If there are liberal or democratic sites in the same way, okay, shut them down too. But this is nonsense.
Well, there is one here that's clearly more liberal. It's the Alabama Reflector. They are part of a nonprofit, a 501c3, I think it is. And they do not, their stories lean left-ish.
But they don't advocate positions. Right, but I don't think that that's fair to say that about the Reflector. What they're unless we're going to go back to the old adage that facts have a liberal bias, because what their stories are very factual,
and they
go in and they talk to both sides of an issue and they present it that way, and that to a lot of people out there now in the post Fox News world has become left wing news.
Well, I apologize if I misspoke, but what I meant was, if you read their editorial bit,
sure, yes,
it is left-ish. Mm-hmm. It is not what I would consider crazy.
Right.
Brian Lyman is one of the most thoughtful people we've got here. And I was not derogatory. I'm just saying, I don't see them trying to influence legislature.
Right, yes.
What they're trying to do over at 1819 is influence legislation.
1,000%.
They're right in the middle of this book banning stuff. Mm-hmm. They're right in the middle of gaming. They're right in the middle of the transgender stuff. They're right in the middle of legislation.
Right. And when they told one of their reporters to slant a story their way instead of the way the story actually was, he refused. They fired him.
Yeah.
Because he would not slant the story.
Yeah. And that is a problem. I mean, that's a problem that somebody in law enforcement or tax enforcement should have a problem with.
Yeah.
And again, if there are other examples out there on the other side, okay, I am perfectly fine with you doing. Listen, if you want to do this, I'm perfectly fine with you doing this.
Yeah.
But do it as a regular business and pay your taxes.
Right. And again, I will go back to it. We have those two, but we have the Reflector and 1819 are both nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
But one does not advocate. The other one does. API, for the last 25 years, has done nothing but advocate for right-wing causes.
They're lobbying.
They send out
That's
an agenda.
All they do.
Yeah, they send out an agenda over there to
they
people.
They send out a legislative agenda.
Yes. I mean, it couldn't be more blatant in your face.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And this was exactly the purpose of 1819, was to extend that sort of lobbying into a media realm.
If you're 501c4, you're allowed a little latitude there on this. But 501c3s are not.
They're not.
No.
But the government doesn't enforce it on conservatives or liberals. No. So there you go. And they want to take money away from the IRS. They don't do their job anyway. All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Recently, Speaker Nathaniel Leadbetter has been going around the state, giving people a preview of some of the legislative agendas that he has, that he hopes to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Two things that he's brought up are addressing the gaming issue, specifically how it's the illegal parts of it, mm-hmm. and how to regulate it. He also has been talking about ethics reform. There is a bill coming out that will address ethics reform. I'd like to talk about both those things, but Josh, you had the opportunity to speak with Speaker Leadbetter this week, mm-hmm. and he gave you an overview or some insight into what he's thinking about in gaming.
Yeah, yeah, I think their biggest problem right now is with the abundance of illegal gaming that's taking place around the state. And you know, he said he was surprised, which I don't know why nobody reads me anymore. I mean, they just stopped reading. But he was surprised by the number of illegal gaming establishments right out there. And a lot of them have expressed that they were really surprised by this. And, you know, they said that they were thought that, well, we were looking at dozens of these things. And they turned out to be more than 1,000.
Yeah.
And they're right. They're all over the place out there. And, you know, it just is... it's about time that somebody took a hard look at this. And that's, you know, this is one of the pieces that a lot of people have said it would be very important, because we have now a serious issue with gaming here, illegal gaming.
Right.
It is in every county in the state. It's all over the place. There's not a convenience store that you can't walk into now and buy some sort of a scratch off or go into a back room and play electronic gaming of some sort. And some of the bigger establishments are connected to more organized crime. You know, there are also drug sales and other things that are happening there that they had found out about and talked to some law enforcement about. I also mentioned that they, you know, knew of a sports betting ring that had brought in more than $2 billion, done more than $2 billion in business over the last year or so. I mean, so this is what's here now. And if you people would kill me talking about, oh, we're going to expand gambling to... You couldn't expand it more than what we've got now. You know, the regulation, a comprehensive gaming bill at this point is going to be a massive reduction in gaming that we have here if they do it right. But they're facing, you know, it's going to cost. What they want to do is going to cost a lot of money. And some of that money is going to have to come from establishing more gaming in the state, regulating it, taxing it as it should be taxed now.
Right.
Because they're wanting to put in place enforcement. They want to put a regulatory body in place, and then give them law enforcement officers that will go out and rein this thing in. And that's going to take a lot of work.
I mean, for almost a decade, we have sat around this table, and not this one, but a table like this, and said they need to legalize it, mm-hmm. regulate it, and tax it.
Yes.
That is what we've been saying. Yeah. But there are two groups that are against this. And that is the Christians, some of the Christians, uh-huh. and all the criminals.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and some of the Christian criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've wasted so many years going after people that were the most legitimate businessmen in the group. Mm-hmm. Where you're talking about mm-hmm. Milton McGregor and, you know, Nat Wynn and some of the other folks and the Porch Creek Indians.
Yeah, the Porch Creek.
They've gone after them as well. And they have the best establishment. They're all regulated. Nobody, you know, that's all fair. And then you go to these other places and it's just like night and day. You know, it's really like going into a back alley someplace to play games.
Because most of the time it is.
Yes.
These establishments have been above board, clean, followed the regulations down to the tooth and nail. And it's not fair to them for all these other illegal gaming establishments to be out there, or even one, you know, one armed bandit in a grocery store or a gas station somewhere. They want to pay taxes. They want to help the state. The legislature is the one that's standing in the way. It's also standing in the way of giving a regulatory arm, like you said, mm-hmm. to go in and actually enforce this and take it out of the AG's office.
Well, and that's the thing. We have to have the laws in place that are enacted under gaming legislation.
Yes.
Not the criminal code, but the gaming legislation.
Exactly.
Because again, you know, the Supreme Court of Alabama has done more phony judicial work in the name of trying to ban gaming than you could imagine. But we know it for sure. They've done it, you know, because Bob Riley and the power guys at the time, the big power brokers at the time, didn't want it because they wanted the money over from Tennessee.
Mississippi. I can tell you a lot of these legislators that have been against it, dead set. I bet if we got a look at their bank records, we'd understand why.
Well, that's very possible. Then you got some of them that just, again, it's some Christians, it's all the criminals.
Yeah. Listen, right now, it's going to be a fight to get this thing through. Yeah. I mean, it's always 50-50 with gambling, as you know. But, I mean, there's a lot of these illegal businesses are dumping money into campaigns.
Yeah.
We saw, if I'm not mistaken, the governor had to give back some money. And I'm not saying that establishment is illegal. It's in Greene County where there's an amendment out there. And so, of course, now the sheriff says they were illegal and has now shut them down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you have a bunch of these all over the state, and they're dumping money into people's accounts, and there's nobody keeping track of them. We had an instance of one in Greene County. They gave a $32 million one-time management fee to a group that we don't know who they are or where they came from, and that was for 1 year in Greene County.
You know, most people didn't even know there's $32 million extra running around in Greene County at all. Nobody did. But the thing is, I think that Speaker Ledbetter's on the right path here.
Yes.
Let's get a gaming bill that regulates, that legalizes, and that doesn't expand and contracts gambling down to the few people that actually know what they're doing, unlike the Cannabis Commission, where we gave the whole ball of wax to people who didn't know what they're doing, and this is what we've got now.
Yeah,
and don't underestimate the patience of Speaker Ledbetter. I wouldn't. Really?
But he is not what we would call a delicate flower.
No, he's not. And I'll say this too. People will argue about, well, we're picking the winners out of this, you know, because they want to put it at the tracks and things like that. These folks have the experience to manage the gaming, and it's in communities where gaming is already present.
Okay. We have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.